This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, I just want to give you a hearty congratulations from me, from us here at the Jesse Kelly Show, to you. You have done it. Every time you make it to the end of the week, it's worthy of putting a smile on your face. Plus, it is Good Friday, and we should all be celebrating that. Chris, thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Here's what we have on tap for tonight. Yes, I will answer a couple of these Pam Bondi Epstein list emails, but I want you to know that's not going to last long. The questions are too good. I don't even know where to begin. Someone wants to know about having a baby. Is he going to look at his wife differently? Private gun ownership here in America versus abroad. Wealthy societies throughout history. Cups of coffee. The Republican Party and my changes throughout the years. All that. So much more coming up tonight on a world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Let me first begin with something totally different, though. I will get to the questions in a minute. There's just something, there's a great example of something out there right now. You see, diversity, equity, inclusion, all this stuff, this is stuff you're aware of. This is stuff we rail against all the time. But some people were confused how and why this got implemented in really important organizations. One of those organizations I'm going to point out, this is going to come back to David Hogg, actually, but one of those organizations I'm going to point out is the FBI. This is just a perfect example. The FBI is just the one I'm picking on at the moment. This applies to everything, government, businesses, everything. This is what happened, you see. There are, or at least there were, standards in the FBI for how you would get promoted throughout the years. And look, in any organization, government or otherwise, you generally want some standards there, some achievable goals that your employees can look to and say, hey, if I do that, I will get promoted. Me, you know, I was selling RVs before I started doing radio 6 years ago. It was pretty easy in the organization I was involved in, which is gone now. They got bought out by some big corporation, but it was pretty easy to figure out how you would get promoted to sales manager, and then from there, how you would get promoted one notch above to general manager. It's really cut and dry. Sell. Be a good seller. If you're one of the better sellers, plus you show some leadership, the interest, the ability to help others with their deals, then they're going to look at you when it's time to pick a new sales manager and say, look at that guy. Look at his sales. And same thing for general manager. Who are my best sales managers? Look at that guy. Let's make him a GM. Very, very, it works the same in your job in some way. With the FBI, they had metrics they would use. But Barack Obama, the committed America-hating communist, got in there. And you see, he had a goal in mind, and that's where he started. Started with the goal and then worked back from there, as we all should do. His goal was, hey, here's this huge federal law enforcement arm. All these guns, all this power. They have all this power, 35,000 employees, the power to destroy lives. They have offices all over the country. How do I use that against Republicans? How do I use that against my political opponents? Well, I have to change the organization because the law is not going to allow me to do that. And the men and women who are there who are actually crime fighters, they're not going to want to do that. So what I need my people. I need committed communists in the critical positions of power inside the FBI, and I need to find a way to justify promoting them to those positions. Well, those people are almost always dirtballs and losers, and they're not accomplished. So what you had better do is you had better change the criteria for what it actually takes to get promoted inside the FBI, and that is exactly what Barack Obama did. He simply changed what would get you a promotion. It would be like the RV dealership coming in and saying, hey, if you want to be sales manager, we're not going to look at sales numbers anymore. Who's the first one to bring the boss a cup of coffee in the morning? The first one to bring the boss a cup of coffee in the morning, that's the kind of go-getter we need as sales manager. That's what Barack Obama did inside the FBI. And from there, once he put those new standards into place, from there, this disgusting, poisonous system really produced its own results. From there, scumbag losers rose to all the positions of power inside the FBI. The good cops got frustrated, quit, or kept their heads down, shut their mouths, while the FBI got turned into the evil state police agency that it currently is, known as the CHECA. They simply adjusted the standards of how you get promoted. They took what was important, they tossed it in the trash, and they chose to focus on unimportant things because it would benefit them in their communist revolution. Which brings us perfectly to David Hogg. David Hogg. Now, you probably know who this human being is by now because he's all over the television set all the time. But what he is one of the great examples of communists promoting and supporting each other and turning each other into wildly successful people without having to actually accomplish anything of note at all. What's the David Hogg origin story? Because right now he's the vice chair of the Democrat National Committee. That's a big deal. And I bet you he gets a really nice paycheck. I guarantee it's six figures, and I bet you it's comfortably six figures, if not more. How do we get plagued with this guy? How is this moron on television? How did we get stuck with this guy?
Because we go out there as Democrats all the time and say democracy is the most important thing. We have to defend democracy. We fail to acknowledge that this generation, democracy is what put us through school shooter drills and school shootings. It's what's put us through the climate crisis and so much more. What we have to do is prove that democracy matters by standing up to the special interests that are killing the American dream and making our young people lose faith, not only in our party, but the future of this country. That is why we're doing.
What
did he just say? I don't even know if I can criticize it. I'm so confused as to what he's just dumb. Why do I have to listen to that dumb?
Well, David Hogg rose to prominence after the horrible Parkland school shooting in Florida. You remember that? It was horrible shooting. I'm not going to name the shooter. I don't do that on the show. It was one of those ones where the cops sat outside while kids were dying. It was just a really terrible thing. And from there, this school shooting survivor emerged, and that was his cell. And what he was really doing is he was rallying for Democrat causes. Immediately he rose to national prominence as a gun grabber. Hey, I'm David Hogg. I survived a school shooting. You should give up your guns. Hey, I'm David Hogg. There was a school shooting. I survived it barely by the skin of my teeth. Give up your guns. He became an incredible spokesman for the communists who want to disarm you so they can hurt you. Remember, that's why communists want you disarmed. That's why Democrats rail against the Second Amendment. They want to hurt you. It's not more complicated than that. And he became, how do you argue against that? How do you argue against that? This is a kid. And he was a kid at the time. He was in high school. This is a kid who just survived what might be the worst thing in the world, a school shooting.
This is a kid, and even he says you should give up your guns. Well, I mean, hey, he's been through a lot. Maybe we should. Honey, what do you think? Maybe we should give them up. Look, he's a kid. Look at the kid.
That's why he rose to prominence. He was carrying the communist message, and he was an effective messenger. But is he a school shooting survivor? Oh, I know there was a shooting at the school. I know that he was there. Where was he in the school? Was he dodging bullets? Was he surrounded by blood and people dying, screaming? David Hogg wasn't even in the building. Wasn't even in the building. He was just an attendee at the school in a totally different building. But he was sold to you as a school shooting survivor trying to save lives. I'm not done yet. We'll finish up on Hogg, then we'll move on to questions. He's just the perfect example of the ridiculous soft communist system we have now. Before we finish up on him, let's take care of your dog. You see, Fred has a sensitive stomach. Fred is just generally pretty sensitive anyway, and of course, he has a sensitive stomach on top of his seasonal allergies, on top of his attachment issues. I know, it's just, what do you want me to do? We had to come up with some sort of a solution because Fred was getting sick every time he ate, and then we were having to clean it up. What do you do? We don't want to go to the vet. We don't want to get him on pills or shots. We found Rough Greens, all natural nutritional supplement. We sprinkle it on Fred's food. Rough Greens has digestive enzymes and probiotics and things like that and antibiotics in it. We've seen so many physical differences in Fred. He can actually keep up on walks now, and he's not that athletic. Do you want your dog to be healthier, live longer? 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday. We will get to the emails here in a few. We're just talking briefly, in case you're just now joining us, about how we've completely altered the standards of so many things in this country. And now you can rise to positions of national prominence, to fame and fortune, without actually accomplishing anything at all. That happens in broken, corrupt countries. We're talking about the story of David Hogg. Claimed to be a school shooting survivor. And of course, the media, the Democrat Party, fell in love with him because he was an effective voice for what they wanted. They wanted to disarm you. They want to disarm you. They hate that they can't hurt you. That's why they hate your guns. And here you have this guy, a very, very, very effective, sympathetic figure. He's a school shooting survivor, except he wasn't. That's a lie. And then we wake up one day, and this guy, who wasn't a school shooting survivor, but he most definitely was a communist activist, got into Harvard. Seemed a little odd to people, so they started doing some digging on David Hogg. Now, pause on this for a moment. We're going to set aside all the political reasons and all the different ways that you can worm your way into these high-level schools. Have you ever actually looked at any of these top schools, you know, Harvard or Rice or even the military academies, the Air Force Academy and stuff like that? I tell you, I did one time, even though I had a pretty robust 2.3. I looked at them just briefly just to see what it took. And I have friends who really tried to get in. Are you under the impression that just a 4.0 gets you into these schools? No, you pretty much have to have a 4.0 to apply. That's not near enough. You have to have extracurricular activities. Lots of these kids who get into these schools have to have a 4.2, a 4.3. That's why so many Asians get in. You have to, it takes a lot to get into these schools. David Hogg got a 1270 on his SAT. That's about what I got. I think I got like an 1100.
He got a 1270 on the SAT and yet got into Harvard? How does that happen? Well, again, in a corrupted, rotted system, it's not about your SAT score. It's about how loyal of a communist you are, how effective of a communist you are. And if you are effective, if you are loyal to the system will heap rewards on you. And then, after having not survived a school shooting and not qualified to get into Harvard, he now has risen to be the vice chair of the DNC. So if you turned on the news this morning, and I doubt you did because it was on CBS, but if you turned on the news this morning and you saw this individual sitting there behind the desk uttering some of the dumbest things you've ever heard in your life, and you found yourself asking, wait, what? How did this guy get here? Well, this is what happens when your country moves away from being a meritocracy and instead adjusts the standards so that merit doesn't matter at all. What matters is, are you a good communist? David Hogg was a good communist. Figured out how to be rich and famous.
For them, because we go out there as Democrats all the time and say democracy is the most important thing. We have to defend democracy. We fail to acknowledge that this generation, democracy is what put us through school shooter drills and school shootings. It's what's put us through the climate crisis and so much more. What we have to do is prove that democracy matters by standing up to the special interests that are killing the American dream and making our young people lose faith, not only in our party, but the future of this country. That is why we're doing
it. It's not even just that he's a communist. It's just not even an intelligent one or eloquent one at all. But you see, he did fulfill all the requirements to get promoted. Let's do some emails. Jesse, where's the Epstein list? It's been crickets since Pam Bondi was going to release it. Jesse, I get your frustration with Pam Bondi, so on and so. Okay, so this is what I'm going to say, so I'm not going to go off on Pam Bondi again. I'm only going to say a couple things as far as the Epstein list goes. And I need you to do some reading between the lines, because I may or may not know some things that I cannot divulge, okay? So don't send me an email asking to clarify. If you can't read between the lines, forget it and move on. We'll be on a different topic in a moment. You want the Epstein list. I want the Epstein list. Are you sure you want the Epstein list? You know, you could make a mistake. Be careful what you wish for. If you imagine I go home and I tell hey, I hook her up to a lie detector test and I said, hey, we went to an Astros game last week. That pitcher that came out there with long hair, pretty athletic. Did you think that guy was more attractive than I am? I don't think I'm going to ask that question. And by the way, I don't think she thinks that, but what if she does? I think I'd rather not know. I'm not telling you not to want the Epstein list. I'm just telling you, be careful what you wish for, all right? You think you're going to have a list of nothing but Bill Gates is on there. And I'm sure that'll be part of it. But there were a lot of people who do business with Jeffrey Epstein. I'll leave it at that. Let's move on and talk about private gun ownership. Guy wants to ask about his wife having a baby. I want to ask you, what have you done to protect your retirement now that we're in a global trade war? You didn't think that this trade war stuff was done, right? What's happening as we speak? Are nations maneuvering things, figuring out how they're going to handle all the tariff stuff, the market stuff, the Federal Reserve, interest rates. Things are in a state of upheaval globally. What have you done to make sure you're not going to wake up tomorrow and see your retirement gone?
get some precious metals from Gold Co. as part of your retirement. Don't go crazy. I'm not telling you to invest your life savings in gold bars. That's crazy. Get some precious metals as part of your retirement. Let Gold Co. do it for you. They make it easy, and you can trust them. 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a just a wonderful, a completely wonderful Friday. I'm in such a great mood today. I want to do a bunch of emails. Let's do some emails, shall we? In fact, let's talk about this one. Jay Steele, the world needs more private gun ownership. Is it even possible to start something like this? The Brits are being jailed for online posts. Australia is horribly oppressing their citizens. Other Western nations are treating these people horribly. Is there anyone that can start this campaign? Okay. America started this campaign. We can make a mistake, you and I. And I know I'm guilty of this, so I'm definitely not pointing fingers at you. I am guilty of this. We love our country. I love it and you love it, right? We want what's best for it. And when we look at the horrible things horrible people are doing to it, we get upset. And when we look at things changing for the worse, we get upset. And things are changing in many ways for the worse. I acknowledge that. But we can lose sight of this incredible fact that has not changed since the inception of this country. The United States of America did something very, very unique in history. And I'm not going to say we're the only ones, but we're one of the very, very few. You see, there have been many countries, well, some countries, I'll put it that way, historically, that have tried this freedom thing in various ways, meaning the people are represented. Instead of being lorded over and ruled over by some sort of a king, the people have representation. The people have a voice. The people have some level of power. And you know that the Greeks worked with this. And some of the Greeks, right? The Greek is a strong way to put it. There were a bunch of different Greek. But the Greeks worked with this. And the Romans worked with this. And there have been societies in history that have, hey, you know what we need is a Senate, an elected legislature of some kind where the people can vote. Or it took a bunch of different forms, right? The people deserve a voice. The people deserve some power. That's happened in history in different ways. But the United States of America did something different. They made sure of it. They didn't leave the freedom of the people up to the elites to decide. You see, that was in some ways, and look, we could have a historical argument of this, but in some ways, that's really why the Roman Republic ended up falling and the Roman Empire rose. You could argue it's one of the main reasons. The people were not armed. So the only people who had force of arms were armies, generals. It was Julius Caesar. It was Sulla. It was Augustus. It was Mark Antony. If you had a legion or two, armored, swords, spears, you were the only one armed. And eventually, on a long enough timeline, men will become power hungry enough and evil enough that they're going to disregard the laws or norms or rules. If I'm the only one with arms and you don't have any arms, well, whatever the law says, whatever the rules are, you only get to be free if I allow it. If I'm the only one with arms and you don't have any, well, what if I wake up tomorrow and I decide I want to make you do whatever I want? What can you do about it? Nothing. The great Pompey Magnus quote, we've quoted a million times, one of my favorite quotes in history. Do not quote laws to men with swords. They realized that one day men woke up and realized, wait, forget about the law. I have 20 armed dudes who will cut your head off. How many armed dudes do you have with you? I guess we'll do whatever I want, right? But the United States of America did it differently. The founders had studied all these things I just said. You think they didn't study the fall of the Roman Republic? They were obsessed with the issue. They were obsessed with past societies. Who did what? How did it work? How should a Senate work versus, we do need a chief executive with some power, not too much power. What do we do? And they debated and argued over all these things. I don't want to act like the founders. We do this too much. Act like they were all on the same page. They were not. But they did understand we have to set up a system where evil men, because there will be evil men, where evil men cannot destroy the country we're setting up. How do we do that? And they realized you can put as many things you want in the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights. You can write all these wonderful thoughts down in the Federalist Papers. You can have incredible debates that are spread through. You can do all these things, and you can even do it perfectly. But in the end, after you're dead, maybe even while you're alive, evil men are going to come along and they're going to disregard all of that in pursuit of power. What do you do about that? How do you safeguard against that? Because they knew it was a possibility. Well, you have to give the people the ability to kill the government. That's what the Second Amendment is. You know that, right? The Second Amendment, the right hates to talk like this because we believe we have to water things down and dumb things down and make things more palatable for all the norms out there. But the Second Amendment is not about hunting. The Second Amendment is not about self-defense. That's a nice byproduct of it. It's nice to be able to shoot someone who breaks in your home to hurt you. It's nice. That's not the point of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is there so you can fight the United States government if you have to, if the United States government turns tyrannical. That is the point of it. That is the entire point of it. And I'm going to make you feel good about something. America's communists, they want to do the worst things in the world to you, and they will. You saw a little glimpse of it, of the kind of things they will do with power during Joe Biden's 4 years, sending the FBI after people. You saw a little glimpse of it, the censorship, the everything. You got a little window into what they want to do. And I'm here to tell you something. For them, that was nothing. That was nothing. They want to do so much more. Because they're communists. They're evil. They're demonic. They believe in control. They believe in forcing people to do things, to say things, to do what people don't want to do. They want to do so much more to you. And they have for a long time. And they can't. They just can't. The Second Amendment, maybe you don't even think about it. Maybe you're not a gun person, and that's fine. I'm not here to make you into a gun person. You believe what you want. You carry what you want, what you're allowed to do. That's your business. But I will tell you this for a fact. The American communist, to him, the Second Amendment is like a rock in his shoe. That's what it is. You may even go through days without thinking about it. Maybe you carry, maybe you don't. Maybe you don't really think about Second Amendment issues, guns, but to the American communist, it is there all the time. This constant reminder that there is a limit to how far he can go, that there is a limit to how much he can crush you and how much he can hurt you. If he could just get those guns out of your hands, he could make you take that vaccine. He could make you do this. He just wants to make you. And then there's all these guns and he can't do it. And it drives him insane. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. As far as the other countries go, well, once you give them up, you don't get them back. And I don't have anything good to say about where they're going. Be very, very grateful that you are an American. And even if you're not one of the gun owners, be grateful you're surrounded by them. Because our communists are every bit as evil as the ones in Stalin's Soviet Union. Trust me on that. Let's talk about having a baby next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, reminding you, you can email the show, and you should email the show your questions. Email those in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right. Let's talk about, well, I'll just read the question. The subject of this one is having children. My wife and I will be celebrating our 10-year wedding anniversary in a few weeks. We haven't had kids yet. However, I think that may change soon as we're getting more serious about starting our own family of tiny anti-communists. My question is, how much does your view of your wife change after having kids? Did your feelings towards Aubrey change at all when she bore you sons? Also, do I have to watch their heads pop out of there? Obviously, I want to be in the room, but I'm not sure I have the stomach for that. Please pray for me and my wife so we can have a few healthy sons of our own. Okay, so one, say a prayer for this man and his wife as they get ready to try to have babies. This is something that is a wonderful one. Yep, absolutely, Chris. It's a wonderful thing. Chris, the Jewish producer, Chris has a kid. Corey has a kid. We believe in having kids and families on this show if that is God's calling for your life. Okay, so good. Say a prayer for these people. Now, does your view of your wife change? I'm assuming you're going to talk about physically. And so, listen, I understand dudes who are honest about this who get worried because when she gets pregnant, she's going to get fat. She is. She's going to have to carry a baby around. She got to put on some weight plus the baby. She needs that for the baby and everything like that. Are you going to be not attracted to your wife? And then there's the birth, of course, which can get a little messy, if you will. Can get a little bit messy. I'll leave it at that because there are kids listening. First of all, do not worry about the physical aspect of it. I will tell you, I have fond memories of Ab being pregnant. It was actually hilarious. She's like this tiny little thing. She's like 5'2 or something like that. Just this tiny little gymnast. And she grew, instead of, like, as she's staring at you, instead of wider, like, all of her baby weight just came out the front. So her stomach, I swear her stomach was 6 feet long at one point in time. It was just all out the front. And so there's this tiny little thing waddling around with this big old baby twice. It was, yeah, oh yeah, Chris, you should see. She turned to the side and you're all, whoa. It's not going to bother you at all. You're probably going to love it. We have fond memories of, because women get all kinds of different food cravings when they're pregnant. Ab is, you know, she's a healthy eater. That's really annoying, but she's a super healthy eater. I've told you before about Dairy Queen. I'm not a huge Dairy Queen guy for sweets. I love their burgers. I'm a Dairy Queen guy. I like Dairy Queen. Ab, I don't know that outside of pregnancy, I don't know that I've seen her go to Dairy Queen 5 times in my entire life. She became obsessed with Dairy Queen soft serve ice cream when she was pregnant, to the point we had one 15 minutes from our house and I was working construction at the time. It was the norm. I would call her when I was on the way home and she would ask me to go by Dairy Queen to pick her up an ice cream cone, and sometimes we'd be home. And she'd be all, I really want some soft serve. Would you go get me the, yes, honey, I'll go get you some. We laugh about that still to this day, how she just hoss down Dairy Queen soft serve ice cream by the gallon. It's good. Now, that was all the good parts of it. Let's talk about the actual birth itself. You're not going to enjoy it. All right, you're not. And the people who tell you you are, there's two types of people who tell you you're going to enjoy the birth of your children, okay? Your wife, because she's the one who has to go through all the misery, so she'll pretend like you should enjoy it. You won't. And liars. Those are the only kinds of people who will tell you you're going to enjoy it. There's nothing enjoyable about it. Your wife is in pain, and you can't do anything about it. And for dudes, that's just the worst thing in the world. Fix her. Do something. She's hurting. So that's terrible. You're exhausted because you don't want to sleep. You want to be there to support her. You don't want to sleep. So you're tired. Did I ever tell you my dad stopped to get a meatball sub on the way to the hospital when my mom was in labor? Anyway, so you're tired. You're hungry. Your wife is in pain. And hey, the physical aspect of it. Unless this is something that's really, really, really important to your wife, stay above the waist. Okay? There's no law. You said you don't think you can handle it, and I'm here to tell you right now, I don't have any squeamishness when it comes to injuries and things like that. I'm just not that way. Blood does not bother me. I've never been that way. It's a lot. It's a lot to take in. And yeah, Chris, I watched. Yeah, I know. I watched. I wish I could do that over again. Okay. I wish I could do that over again. Unless your wife demands it, I would stay above the waist. If you are already cracking, if you're already in the I'm not sure I can do it thing, you really need to stay above the waist. Corey, did you stay above the waist? Oh, C-section. Okay. Well, that's a whole different ballgame there. I can't speak to that. Ob didn't have one of those. I don't know about that. That's scheduled and all that other stuff. If it's going to be a natural, I don't know, how do you say it? Out the cattle chute or whatever. Is that not the way to... What, Chris? I don't know how to say it. If it's going to be one of those things, there are kids listening. I don't know what you want me to say. If it's going to be one of those, stay above the waist, okay? There. That's all I'm going to say. Stay above the waist. All right. I want to talk about politicians. I want to talk about Adam and Eve having belly buttons. I really want to talk about these killers, though, first. Okay, we always have these killers, and someone wants to talk about manifestos. What's up with their manifestos? Before we get to that, I want to talk to you about something you can do for yourself this weekend. Why don't you try Relief Factor? I keep telling you about it, and all I'm asking is that you try it. I'm not telling you to sign up for a lifetime subscription or anything like that. Relief Factor is so confident they're borderline cocky that it will get the pain out of your life. It's 100% drug-free supplement. You take it every day, and the longer you take it, the better it works. That knee pain, that back pain, that neck pain, it can remove it from your life. They sell a 3-week quick start so you can try it. It's $19.95. You know, almost everyone orders more. Imagine that, because that's a pain, right? You have to pick up the phone. I guess I'll order some more. Why do you think almost everyone orders more? Once you're pain free, you never want to go back. Try it. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.